Hey guys, welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Episode 50, this is kind of a big deal. So Lauren and I are going on somewhat of a rampage about how we feel about diets. Whether you've dieted in the past, you're currently dieting, the word diet makes you cringe, makes you have whatever sort of feels, this episode is for you. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Diets. First word that comes to your mind.
Die.
We'll put the die in diet. This topic, I think, just gets me fired up. And we talk about this all the time, but I feel like this has been coming up more and more recently of diets. It's just something that we're constantly exposed to with our friends, our family, the media. Like, it's just the holidays or summer or something that you're dieting for.
Yeah, I totally agree. You can't escape the diet world. It's really hard to escape the diet world, especially as a female and especially in the fitness and health industry. So to kick this off, let's talk about like what we really mean by dieting, because when you think of having a diet, that's just the food that you eat. But that's not what we think of when we hear the word diet or dieting. So I first want to define that, what that kind of means to you and what that means to me. So when I think of dieting, I think of trendy diets, things that I've tried, things that I haven't tried, but mainly I think of rules. What do you think of?
Well, the word diet for me has definitely evolved. I know in high school, I thought of restriction and rules and calorie counting and all those different things that you're speaking of. But in college, and more so now, I do think of the word diet as almost like a medical term. It's what you eat and how you eat. But for me, I initially, being in the clinical setting, I think of a DASH diet. This person's on a low sodium diet. They're on a renal diet. They're on a specific diet for a disease state. But I also know the majority of the world does not think of it that way. So when I think of it on the other side and more of a social aspect, I think of the high school term that I have in my head.
Yeah, and you bringing up high school, it makes me even sad to think about, but it makes me realize that like most women are exposed to the diet world in high school, maybe middle school. And you go on your own little journey, whatever that is. Maybe you diet all through high school so you can look like that girl or look like this girl. And you really have to like almost figure this out on your own, because the diet world, as we're going to talk about, it's just an endless circle. You're never going to be satisfied. So like once you enter the diet world, it's like you have to like find your own way out.
Can you think of the time probably in your youth when you were first exposed to diets? Like, was your mom ever on a diet? You grew up with sisters. Were any of them on diets? What was that kind of like for you growing up?
The first time that I was exposed to dieting was my mom and both my sisters started Weight Watchers. And I was about 16, so I wasn't even that young, in my opinion. And I just decided to do it with them because they were going to be doing it. So I was like, hey, why not? Right before that, though, maybe a year or two before that, my mom got my sister's memberships to a big gym. And then she also got me one. But that's how I got into group fitness, etc. But then shortly after that, they started dieting. And I remember I did Weight Watchers at that point, just like for fun. And that's kind of kickstarted my healthy obsession with health. What about you? When did that all start for you?
I also had two sisters growing up, but I never remember my mom or my aunts or my grandma or anyone being on a diet. You know, we always ate as a family. We always had to have fruits and vegetables and a grain and protein. You know, we always had kind of a balanced meal. So I never really looked at food as good or bad. But I do remember, I don't know why this memory sticks out specifically, I think I was probably in eighth grade or somewhere, seventh or eighth grade, and I remember finding diet pills in my sister's drawer and thinking, oh my gosh, like if my sister's fat, you know, then I must be fat, you know, because I grew into the sixth grade. I think my boobs are the same size then. Like I grew and then that was it. So for me, that's kind of when I would say maybe I was start to being exposed to just diets and that whole weight loss era.
I think that's pretty unique that you didn't have a concept of like good foods and bad foods. We definitely ate like a balanced, healthy food at my growing up. But one memory I have is once we started Weight Watchers, Skinny Cow desserts were in style at that point, and I don't even know if people know what those are still, but they had Weight Watcher points on them. So it was like whatever Weight Watcher points you had at the end of the day, you could like maybe have a Skinny Cow ice cream sandwich. And even at that young age, I remember thinking like, wait, this is weird. Like, okay, so I can save points throughout the day so that I can have ice cream at night. Like that didn't seem right to me then, even though I was like totally on board with it. But when we kind of take it back to, does this diet make sense? Most diets pretty much fall through.
Right. And I know personally, when I was in that age of high school and even early college, anytime I dieted or calorie counted, usually was what I knew back then, I would end up binging. And not in a, you know, bulimia binge, but, you know, restrict, restrict, restrict. Oh my gosh, if I say no to that piece of chocolate one more time, I'm going to eat the whole bag, you know, kind of that all or nothing mentality. So let's kind of talk about what is the effectiveness of dieting? Do diets work?
Yeah, I think most people would think, yeah, diets work. But what does it mean for a diet to work? If your goal with dieting is to lose 5 pounds for the weekend, okay, for sure, you can do that with dieting. But if your goal is to lose weight and keep it off over a long period of time, like 5 years, 10 years, your lifetime, then really what the science says is that diets do not work.
We recently looked at a study by UCLA. It was a report that analyzed over 30 long-term studies, and they quoted, most of them would have been better off not going on the diet at all. So 2/3 of the people in these studies specifically regained the weight that they lost, and then some over 4 to 5 years. I see this all the time working in the bariatric clinic. Like I see new patients all the time, and I can tell you their list. They've done Weight Watchers, they've done Atkins, they've done any type of diet in the book, they've done it. And almost all of them will say, yeah, I had success with that. I did it a couple times, you know, and I had fairly good success, but then, you know, life happened or something came up, or just over the years, they gained the weight back and then some. That is like a classic case of what I see with obesity. But I think it applies to all dieters.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, whether we're talking about losing 20 pounds and then gaining 30 or losing 5 pounds and then gaining 7, it's still the same outcome. And I think one of the pros behind dieting is that hopefully you start to learn more about yourself and you learn more about food. I think that's definitely a pro. But one of the big cons is that after you go on a diet and then you inevitably gain the weight back, you then have to go on another diet. And there's a lot that goes on psychologically with that. I mean, you really enter this, you might probably enter that diet cycle and get stuck there for years. I mean, how many women are still dieting at even 30? Okay, well, they might have been dieting already for like 15 years. Doing something that's not even really working for that long. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, let's talk about the mental aspect of it. I mean, I feel like you just constantly say, yes, I can have this. No, I can't have that. And again, going back to this good and bad, you know, for you at a young age to say, well, you can only have Skinny Cow ice cream if you do X, Y, Z. And I think it puts us in that, number one, restrictive cycle, and number two, of food as a reward, right? Then that's the big issue that I have with calorie counting, for example. It is like my pet peeve, and I tell my clients not to do this, you know, using something like MyFitnessPal. While yes, it's great to be aware of how many calories you're consuming, right? I think that's important thing to understand energy balance and, you know, what's in the foods that you're eating. But what happens if you're following a 2000 calorie diet, right? Or that's kind of your goal, and you just had a really busy day, or maybe you just made some really good choices throughout the day that were low in calories, high in fiber, you just felt great, that by the time you got to dinner, you had 900 calories left. I don't know about you, but my brain immediately goes, oh, you have 900 calories. So you can pretty much eat whatever you want because you've eaten dinner, you've eaten all your meals. Why would I just let that go to waste? You know, I'm not going to get it back. And that just sends you in such a cycle of that reward, and it just messes with your mind.
I totally agree with you. It's like if your parents gave you $50 for a pair of jeans that they were on sale and you had 10 extra dollars, you're not going to like give it back to them. That's just the human mentality. So yeah, I mean, I've done that a million times on diets, is have too much at the end of the night and think that like, woohoo, this is awesome. One thing though that comes to mind though is athletes, like people that are really eating for performance, and that is a different sector. So I would love to interview like a sports nutritionist on like what should your mindset be around eating for performance.
I would love to hear their perspective as well too, because I think the athlete probably is so evolved, maybe not, from the dieting mentality, because they really have that different connection with food of looking at food as fuel. I think it depends probably what level they're at, if they're collegiate, if they're pro, you know, but I think they approach it differently as fueling their workouts, recovery, all that.
But I could also see how they would just view their body as like a machine, thinking like my machine needs 5,000 calories every day, whether I feel like it or not. And so I could really see them disconnecting from their body in a sense. So yeah, I would love to get someone's perspective on that. Like, how do you eat mindfully and still hit those goals? So anyway, Katie, you were exposed to dieting in high school. How far down that rabbit hole did you travel?
I definitely have tried diets, but kind of reflecting back, I don't think I ever tried anything. Like, I could never commit to anything for too long because I've never been tied too much to that number on the scale. Yes, to an extent, but not enough to motivate me to go against, well, this is what I want. And I've been, I guess, fortunate, you could say, I don't know, however you want to look at it, to have such an active lifestyle that pretty much up to this point, I feel that I can eat what I want and listen to my body and maintain fairly easily. So to answer your question, I've gone back and forth. I think I've kind of half-assed dieting, but again, it still has put me through the cycle of restrict back to normal, restrict back to normal, and kind of that yo-yo down and up. The one time I did lose 10 pounds, which was a significant amount of weight for me at the time, I wasn't dieting. I was getting back to my normal eating. So I think that just goes to show diets aren't sustainable. If you find a way of eating that's sustainable for you, then that's your diet.
Yeah, it's such a tricky way of like wording that, you know, it's like if you can find a diet that's sustainable, then that's just the way that you eat and it doesn't feel restrictive to you. I really feel like I've had the opposite of experience as you. Like I have traveled very far down the dieting rabbit hole, and it not really even because I needed to lose a lot of weight, but because I have an obsessive type personality and I know that about myself 100%. So I just tend to take things too far. And I think that's really been shown through like my mentality around dieting. And I think the only reason that I can like look back and see how far I've come is because I'm 100% different than I was a couple of years ago. I mean, I remember having like a certain weight that I told myself like I would never go above. And I think a lot of women have to go through this self-exploration of what weight means to them. And it can take a woman her whole life. I mean, she could never fully get through it. You have to really put some hard work into it. And I think the reason that I even started to evolve my way of thinking was because when I was diagnosed with PCOS, I had to like take a look at what I was eating. And with all the allergies that are out right now, I think that's actually been kind of a positive thing is people start to think like, oh, well, maybe I'm gluten sensitive. So they actually like start listening to their body and trying foods and then thinking, how does that make me feel? And whether or not they have a sensitivity or they have an allergy or not, they start to actually learn about their body. That's what happened with me. And then I got pregnant and that did amazing things for me too. And now I feel like, oh my gosh, I've come out on the other side. And if I would have heard this message 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been receptive to it.
I agree. You have to kind of go through this journey because it probably took me just being too exposed to looking at food through chemistry. And for me, that's kind of how I went through it. More so was trying to dissociate how my friends or, you know, peers talked about food and dieting from what I was studying is using nutrition as medicine, as fuel, as, you know, just that different mindset and that, but also surrounding myself with other people who don't have the mindset as well, kind of gets you out of that mentality that you're like, we don't talk about our weight. We talk about food, how food is good, and have you tried this or that, and you know, what's your workout today, and just totally different mindset, which I think makes a huge difference of being able to look back and see how this whole dieting affects you.
Yeah, it's like whenever people ask me about losing weight after having a baby, still catches me off guard because I'm like, wait, I feel like I make this really clear. I don't diet. I just eat healthy now. And it's so simple, but like it takes a lot of effort to actually get to that spot. And I think though that a lot of people, it's hard for them to believe. It's hard for them to believe that like you really don't have to diet.
Another memory that just popped up for me. I remember when I first was going to California for the first time to audition to be in fitness videos. And to me, I immediately, that was where my brain went, was dieting. And it wasn't till after being in the industry for a little bit longer that I realized, yes, there are those people who restrict, you know, and come into these photo shoots or filming, you know, whatever it is, dehydrated and just eating like celery sticks, you know, or whatever to get their weight down. But after being around it, and again, part of that mentality starting to dissociate from that, and you know, no, why don't I just try to eat healthy all year long, so when that opportunity or something comes up, I'm ready and not diet for 2 weeks or whatever.
Okay, so reeling in all of this stuff, let's talk about what actually works. So if we think that diets are dumb, what's actually effective? And we've hinted at it, but it's healthy eating. Okay, but what is healthy eating?
I think everyone has a different definition. It depends who you ask. For me, it's your relationship with food, how you look at food, how you think about food, and non-restrictive, meaning that you have vegetables, you have cookies, you have all these different things, and you don't omit food groups. If you do, it's because of how it makes you feel or just how you know that you personally react to it, not because someone else told you to.
I love your definition of healthy eating. And actually, I learned something about my own mindset from just doing the podcast, from hearing you one time saying that eating a cookie was part of your healthy diet. You said it one time, I remember, and I thought, and it didn't register. And then I thought about it later, and I was like, wait, to me, it's like I have my healthy diet over here, and that's like my kale salad and my chicken breast. And then I have my unhealthy diet over here with my cookies. And I thought it was healthy to have a balance of that. But when you said that your healthy diet included cookies, maybe that doesn't mean anything to anyone else. But for me, that actually really clicked in my head that, oh, so the cookies actually are healthy because it's a big balance. That was a big change for me.
We hear so often that 80-20 rule. I think what you're explaining to me, it sounds like, okay, 80% of the time I'm going to eat all fruits and vegetables and lean protein and da 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 da. And then 20% I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want. And that's balance. But yeah, it kind of goes back to that good, bad, and labeling food.
And then you get into the mental space of, oh, well, I've been really bad lately because I've been eating my bad food 40% of the time and my healthy food 60% of the time, and therefore I need to punish myself by going 100% healthy food, or whatever it is. I mean, good Lord, I have done that.
One thing that really stuck with me is listening to Joy and Claire on Girls Gone Wild. There was one episode where they talked about kind of this topic, and they said food and exercise are not transactional, which that has been ringing through my ears throughout this holiday season and this people saying, oh, well, the gyms are packed, you know, because everyone's trying to burn off that turkey. Why do we have to have that mindset that in order to eat more, you've got to exercise and kill yourself? Like, that is just, that puts you not in the right state.
Yeah. And then when you actually look at the numbers, it's just unrealistic to even have that mindset. When you see that, like, you have to do 100 burpees for like 2 bites of pumpkin pie, I'm just like, forget it. I can't look at food that way because it's just like not freaking realistic. I mean, you have to like run like 2 miles to have like the smallest damn piece of pizza. So it's just like, it's defeating to even think about that.
The other quote, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. I mean, I think that's true too. But again, it's just, I don't think the two should be separated so much as you have to have this and that. That I think exercise and activity in general is part of not just a healthy diet, healthy eating, but just a healthy lifestyle. The two definitely go hand in hand.
Yeah, and there's all of these benefits of exercise that don't have anything to do with your weight and that type of physical health. Okay, so I'm going to take myself back to when I was like had all these rules in my head of what I ate and what I didn't eat, and when I was calorie counting and I was really focused on the scale. Katie, what would you recommend as like the first step from stepping away from dieting and getting a little bit closer to just healthy eating?
That's a good question. I do this every day with my patients because they come to me basically last resort, right? And they've dieted for so long. I hate the word diet so much that I changed it's called a liver reduction diet, right? I try not to even say the word diet when I'm in that initial consult with a patient because I know they come from a history of diet, 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 and we need to work on their mentality. So the first thing I would suggest for anyone to do is, first of all, ditch that word. Just call it meal plan, way of eating, how I eat. Start to think about how you speak about food and just kind of take a step back for a couple days or a week, month, whatever it is that you need, and just start being aware of your eating habits. The key here is to not be judgmental. You know, rather than saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe that every day at work I go by that candy jar and I get a piece of candy. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I do that. I'm such a whatever, fill in the blank. Walk by the next time you pick up a piece of candy, just recognize and say, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that my instinct is to go reach for that candy. And just continue to ask yourself those questions. Why do I do that? Is it a habit? Do I really want chocolate at this hour? How does the chocolate make me feel? Am I distracted? Am I tired? The key is to not be judgmental. And that's very, very hard to do starting off. But ask yourself those questions to kind of start with that self-exploration.
When I first started doing that, like when I first stepped away from calorie counting and stuff, I remember the thoughts that were going through my head were fear. I thought that if I gave myself permission to eat how I wanted to eat, that I would like go crazy. And so therefore I thought if I don't have a tight control over myself and my urges, essentially, that I will just go nuts. And I mean, that makes me so sad to even think about. And I mean, I know that has to be the case for a lot of people. And it's really sad because it's like, therefore, dieting is really controlling your life. And you're probably spending so many of your waking hours thinking about this. So I love that idea of stepping back and starting to become more aware of the decisions that you're already making and asking yourself questions on why that may be the case.
You mentioned that you're kind of a control freak, and I'm sure you're not the only control freak who's listening. So for my control freaks out there and those people who just need kind of an action, or if you struggle with just removing, you just can't even get yourself to remove yourself from thinking about food in that way, delete the apps on your phone. Don't use MyFitnessPal. I challenge you to find just a regular notebook, take pen to paper, and just write what you eat. Again, not judgmental. Write it as you go. Maybe you have a little blurb at the bottom of how you feel. Maybe it's physically. Maybe it's any digestive symptoms or, you know, energy levels. Maybe it's mentally. Maybe you have guilt after you eat that cookie. Maybe the action of writing will make it a little bit easier for you to start to make that connection with your brain and how you eat.
Getting rid of this restrictive mentality and the idea of having rules, it's hard. I mean, it goes against what you've been doing for years. And we really want to help you guys through this. We want to talk about this topic more. And specifically, we want to talk more about intuitive eating. So we've talked a little bit about mindful eating, but that's just a little piece of intuitive eating. So we're going to bring on at least one expert in intuitive eating in a future episode so that we can all learn more about it and we can give you guys more tips on getting to a more healthy and balanced and enjoyable place with your diet.
Yeah, we want to bring the experts to you guys. I think it's helpful to get different mindsets and people who've been, you know, maybe we get someone who's been on the extreme of disordered eating. And there's just so many areas that we could dive into this, but I think you guys are going to find it really helpful in your own nutrition and wellness journey. If you found this episode fascinating, interesting, maybe it tugs somewhere at your heartstrings, send it to a friend who you think could relate. And be sure to hit subscribe so that you get alerts when we have our upcoming episodes on this topic so you don't miss an episode. As always, leave us a review. We'd love to know what you think. That's it for this episode. We hope you guys have an awesome week, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.